Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. All of them deal with the 5-4 Supreme Court decision handed down Friday morning. No surprise to most people, Justice Kennedy writing the majority opinion. The perhaps most unique part of this decision is that there were four separate dissents by those who opposed it. To no surprise, that was Scalia, Thomas, Roberts, and Alito. Justice Kennedy saying that marriage is one of the most fundamental freedoms, most fundamental rights out there, and so it shall be ordered for same-sex couples as well. Justice Scalia getting the most attention for his dissent for the second consecutive day, I might add, talking about how this is truly a threat to democracy because some 50 million people who voted on these referendums in various states around the country were essentially silenced by five different people. So, Jim, I guess we'll take them a little bit out of order than usual. On the bad side, let's start right there. Usually these things are decided at the state level. 30-some states through state constitutional amendments or state referendum clearly stated that they wanted marriage defined as a man and a woman. And today, those states' rights got hammered pretty good by five guys, and I guess not all guys, but five people in black robes in Washington.
Yeah. One of the things that kind of jumps out at this is there are a decent number of people who were pro-gay marriage but who believe that this change in the law had to come through the legislative process, that it does no good to impose a major change in thinking from up on high from folks up in the government. And even though you've seen a dramatic shift in the polling numbers on the issue of gay marriage over a really long time, or maybe even not that much of a long time, maybe say the past decade or so. I mean, for perspective, Greg, it's been so rapid that it's now safe for Hillary Clinton to support gay marriage. That's how fast it's changed. No. That is one of those things where that still remains a fairly sizable chunk of this country that doesn't believe this. And the Supreme Court has just said, well, no, you don't really get to have a say in this anymore. We see this as an equal protection issue. And thus, your objections are out the window. And it's going to be this way under a 5-4 decision. And that's going to be a bitter pill for a lot of social conservatives to swallow.
Absolutely correct. And interesting logic from Justice Kennedy 2 years ago when he wrote the majority opinion in Windsor. He said the federal government cannot deny same-sex marriage benefits to federal employees who live in states where same-sex marriage is legal because the federal government has no business telling a state how to define marriage. So good luck reconciling those two. Okay, on to the good, at least in terms of the way a lot of people are looking at this among conservatives and social media. And a lot of folks certainly that I would respect on most other issues, and even some who probably agreed with the social conservative position on this debate, Jim, is that they believe the issue is now off the table. Democrats, Hillary in particular, can't beat Republicans over the head with it because the court has essentially decided it. How strong of an argument do you think that is?
Oh, I think there's a decent amount of strength to that argument. One being, and we should acknowledge that there are certain conservatives, certain Republicans who support gay marriage. Over in the corner a short while ago, I pointed out that back in 2000, Dick Cheney was taking a viewpoint that was pretty clearly pro-gay marriage, although he too had said it should be up to the states. Since that time, he's become even a little more outspoken and kind of lent his voice to efforts for that. So those Republicans are celebrating today. But I think there's an even larger chunk of the conservative movement and Republicans as a whole who don't really think this is the preeminent issue of the moment. It's funny, we're having this conversation on a day. There have been three separate terror attacks by Islamist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, killing dozens of people in each one. And we have, you know, rather pressing concerns rather than whether some folks can get married or not. I've always been kind of – this has never been a top priority for me. I don't write about it a lot. I don't talk about it a lot. And so I'm not really up in arms about this. But if this means the Republican presidential field stops getting the would you go to a gay friend's wedding – do you have gay friends? Would you go to their wedding? Would you go to their wedding and boo? Would you go to their wedding and throw things, you know? We spend a lot of time and energy over the issue of gay marriage in this country, and it seems, I suppose, if this is if you're gay and you're legally not able to get married, that you completely understand why this should be front and center and the preeminent issue in our body politic. I do think there are other bigger issues going on, and I think it's better for Republicans if they can move on to those other issues, because I think ultimately they're more consequential.
Do you think, though, we saw this about a decade ago when Bush was running for re-election, that at that point, traditional marriage amendments were very popular. A lot of folks think a state amendment helped him win in Ohio. And then over time, the Republican Party has gotten quieter and quieter as the polls have shifted. And a lot of social conservatives, it is believed, stayed home for Mitt Romney in 2012. If Republicans basically say this is a done deal, are they risking that social conservative base once again staying home next year?
I suppose, although I guess I kind of wonder what the those disappointed social conservatives want Republicans to do. Because they are they supposed to pass a ban again? Because the Supreme Court has just ruled that it's not. And you could say, well, you know, in that case, we have to run an anti-gay marriage Republican who can get to the office so they can point a strict constructionist, Greg, somebody like Kennedy.
Great.
Or in the case of yesterday's decision, Roberts, who, by the way, don't you love Roberts warning us about the runaway power of the judiciary and the need for humility in it right after the yesterday's decision on Obamacare, where he gets to say, yeah, you know, law means whatever the administration thinks it means.
Well, welcome to the crazy martini. Chief Justice John Roberts has got the split personality award locked up for this week based on that very notion right there. Yesterday, he was the bane of every conservative's existence for torturing the English language to say that it doesn't just necessarily mean a state. I'm sure they wanted subsidies for anybody who has any way that they could pretty much set it up. And today he's saying, if you want to celebrate today's decision on marriage, go ahead and do it. But don't celebrate the Constitution because it's just flat out not in there. So you must have woken up on a different side of the bed this morning, Jim.
Well, if you were really cynical, Greg, and we're not, but imagine that we were for a moment. And you're John Roberts, and you know the two biggest decisions coming down the pike in this term of the Supreme Court were going to be the Obamacare decision and the gay marriage decision. Now, you know that if liberals didn't get their way in either one of them, there would be much rending of garments. There'd be a declaration of the imperial court. They would argue the Supreme Court had lost its legitimacy because it had either ended Obamacare and snatched away health insurance for millions of people, or they had, you know, stood with the forces of bigotry and intolerance. You know, for example, it's, you know, love wins is the hashtag, Greg. Are you opposed to love? Why are you anti-love, Greg? You know, and that's, you know, so, you know, he can either be Mr. Anti-Love, which he was willing to do today, I guess, or he can, you know, give the left what it wants on Obamacare in a 6-3 decision. And then today, because it's 5-4, he can try to get back into the good graces of conservatism and say, well, now I'm totally back on your side. Now that it doesn't count, now that you don't need me, I'm on your side. And I will speak eloquently and voraciously and powerfully and all that stuff. And we'll end up losing it anyway. So there you go. That's where we are. And John Roberts, I think Roberts is now going to be remembered on a David Souter scale. I think there are now people going to see him as a major mistake by the Bush administration or by President Bush. I don't know if that's necessarily a fair way to characterize his entire judicial record he's accumulated over years on these two big decisions on Obamacare. But hard for conservatives to not say, look, this week has seen the effective end of the Confederate flag on both the state capitol grounds of South Carolina and on the General Lee.
Yes.
It has seen the, you know, Obamacare survives in the middle of the week and gay marriage, the law of the land, coast to coast on Friday. A heck of a week for the Obama administration.
It is for them, which means it's pretty lousy for those of us who love the Constitution. So we'll
better
see.
Luck next term, Constitution, you know, if you're still here, if anyone bothers to look at you anymore.
On that note, Jim, good to be back together. We'll do it again on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And tune in again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.